When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
He's a quiet, confident guy. And when you have a receiver that's confident and as quiet as a demeanor that he has, you can't help but know that he's going to be successful. You know, I think he's a guy that understands how to play the position. And it bodes well for us because we had a guy, you know, we let Adam go, and he's probably one of the most unbelievable person that understood how to play the position. And to have a young guy that's already started in that direction that understands that how to play the position.
Oh, yeah, Jordan Edison's quiet, all right. He's so quiet that he won't even acknowledge Judd when Judd tries to ask him a question.
I'm over it. I'm past it now. I was hurt. For a couple days, I cried, purged my feelings, and now I'm okay.
Okay. Just want to make sure you're
okay. Yeah, I know. I'm glad you're okay here. I'm glad you asked.
This is a live edition of Feedback Friday on Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd on the Score North YouTube channel. So, yeah, we're going to go live every Friday, Purple Daily just after 10 o'clock, and Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd just after 11 o'clock. So we take all your comments, questions, concerns, critiques. You send them our way, and we try to get to as many as we can on these Friday shows. And, boys, let's start with Kurt Crane here. Kurt Crane. Some good alliteration with our first commenter. You briefly touched on a subject a couple weeks ago that I think warrants further discussion. For several months now, I've been wondering if there's any way to measure or quantify the economic impact Justin Jefferson is currently having on the Vikings organization. Perhaps using Randy Moss as a benchmark? I wonder if it's possible to look at the Minnesota Vikings pre-Moss versus post-Moss as far as fan base growth and popularity within the league. I know Randy changed the game and attracted new Vikings fans, but Jefferson has more charisma. I wonder if Jefferson's impact will be even greater. I live in Ohio, sandwiched between the Bengals and the Browns, and yet I meet more young kids who are Vikings fans simply because of one player with a signature dance move, the Gritty. He is a marketing machine. So, I mean, yeah, like 1998 was a checkpoint and a gateway for new Vikings fans. Just how many people come on, write that down, and we ask them, when did you first become a Vikings fan? And they say 1998, when I was 8 years old or 10 years old or whatever it was. So, do you think Justin Jefferson, with his charisma and his gritty dance and his productivity, could have a similar impact?
No, but I don't say that with disparagement. Justin Jefferson, the league is so much different now, right? Like, as far as popularity and players go, that I totally get the, oh, thank you very much, DP. Which it says, Judd is a stud muffin, for those of you tuned into the podcast. So I just want you to know that, I mean, a good-looking guy like me, you know, does join shows like this. But anyway, so Justin Jefferson sells jerseys, and I do think that he is definitely a star of this league. But the impact that Moss had, I've always said this, in some ways potentially helped save this franchise. Like, they weren't, the last time they didn't sell out a game and it was blacked out, which I don't think can happen now, but back then it could, was the last home game against the Colts of 97. And so what Moss did for the Vikings, just given the circumstances and time, would be hard to replicate. But Justin Jefferson sells jerseys, is popular. I think he comes off as a better guy than Moss did. But all of that being said, it's just the circumstance of the times that changed this, because I don't think we're ever going to look back and say Justin Jefferson saved the Vikings. I think you can look back and say Moss played a very big role in transitioning the Vikings into the popularity powerhouse they are now.
Yeah. So it's like a different era too, in that,
yeah,
like the Vikings the Vikings had a gap between, like, you're kind of talking about this, like there's the 70s fans, and then they were a good team in the 80s and 90s, but there was nothing to really like grip you as a fan. So now what you have is you have people that were gripped by Randy Moss's excellence, and those are still fans. And so are there people out there, maybe the answer is yes, that aren't really Vikings fans now, or they were like too young for Randy Moss, that are discovering the Vikings because of Justin Jefferson? I think the answer is yes. I don't know if it's as many as followed Randy Moss, but I do think Justin Jefferson is definitely, he's like the welcome mat for new Vikings fans. I agree with that.
I think he's a very impressionable guy for younger kids. And, you know, with the age of TikTok and social media and all this stuff that didn't exist in 98 for Randy, there is definitely a collection of fans that are going to gravitate towards the Vikings simply because of JJ. I think Moss, the only thing that was different with Moss changed the entire position and how we view it. And I don't think anyone will really change that again, which I think kind of limits and hedges Jefferson's impact.
One thing that's changed a lot, though, since then is this. Sports fan, so in 1998, if you loved Moss and like you watched Moss play, you became a Vikings fan.
Mm-hmm.
The youth of today will become Jefferson fans. It's much more you now glum on to the players themselves. And so if Jefferson, I don't know, it's not going to happen, but let's say he got traded, Jefferson fans would just switch teams. In 98, I think you actually adopted the team. I don't know that you adopt teams now. I think you adopt players.
I agree with that.
It's definitely changed.
Especially because on social media, you can follow a team, but you follow players on social media. Players are kind of willing to bounce around more, the free agency era and the player movement, player empowerment era. There are a lot of people that are just fans of players. Alexander Lawson chimes in here via the Score North app. Does the number of fans outside of the state of Minnesota surprise you regarding their involvement with your shows? I know that I first fell in love with the Vikings because of Randy Moss when I was 7, and then AP solidified my passion for the purple. Now Justin Jefferson will draw in more young fans around the country. The Vikings have always had superstar talent to draw in fans from around the globe. But just back to that first part of Alex's question. So, yeah, we've been doing Purple Daily now for almost 3 full years. YouTube podcast. Are you guys surprised and caught off guard about how many fans? I mean, literally, like, international. We'll hear from people from all around the world and for sure around the country. Does it surprise you at all?
It is the number one thing that has surprised me the most about this entire switch that we have done, easily. I always saw, you know, crowds of Vikings fans in Arizona or, you know, the spring training games, you know, fans travel down there well. So, Minnesota sports fans certainly exist outside the state. I had no idea how rampant it is and how hungry they are for this information. I think of all the things that I've, like, taken away from not just the last 3 years, but honestly, since like I've graduated college and whatnot, is how many Minnesota Vikings fans specifically are outside of Minnesota. I had no idea there was this untapped amount of people that wanted this type of coverage and attention. And it's been really cool that we've been kind of the ones that have leaned into that and they've also relied on us.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a year and a half ago, the first time we saw Purple Daily hit top 10 on the Apple football podcast charts, like the national football podcast charts. And then it happened like several other times throughout the year. I think like my biggest, first of all, it was like mind blowing for us because wow, this is something that we never thought the show would get to this level. And my first thought was, well, why not a bigger market? Why wouldn't it be like why would this be the first team centric show to hit the top 10 football? So why not a Giants podcast or Dallas Cowboys or Patriots or something that where you're literally pulling from markets that are 2, 3, 4 times as big as, but it's not about the market. I was thinking, God, Minnesota's like the 15th market size. There's 14 bigger markets and a bunch of other teams. Why not a Bears podcast? It goes beyond the market. That was my biggest realization, that it's the fans, it's the Vikings fans in Arizona. It's the Vikings fans in Virginia, the Vikings fans in Florida and Georgia. There's so many more of you than I ever thought. I thought Steelers fans traveled well across the country. All these like poser Cowboys fans, right? There are so many more Vikings fans around the country than I ever thought before we started doing this show on YouTube every day.
And I think, too, the Vikings, I feel like, have, and look, we all want them to win a Super Bowl, okay? But I also feel like the Vikings have almost developed this pre-World Series championship Cubs feeling to them. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people are just now, and you know, it's a good franchise, but the lack of a championship almost feels to draw the community closer, if that makes any sense.
It does. If you ask Cub fans, and by the way, the Cubs have always been my secondary baseball team because my dad's side of the family is from Kankakee, Illinois, and I went to Cubs games as a kid. And so when the Cubs won the World Series, I was very happy in 2016. But if you ask Cubs fans, it's not that they would trade the World Series, but it's like they did lose generations of identity because all they talked about for 108 years was the fact that they haven't won a World Series since 1908.
Yeah.
So for Vikings fans, and you could say the same thing for Wild fans and Timberwolves fans, but the Wolves have only been around since like 1988. At least the Wild, you can trace lineage to, if you're a North Stars fan, you go back to like 1960. So yeah, it'll be interesting at some point if the Vikings rattle off like 2 Super Bowl wins in 4 years, right? A little mini dynasty, which is crazy to think about. How will we all change as sports fans? I swear to God, now Boston's always been a little brash and obnoxious, but when that town went from never winning anything, the Red Sox, 86 years, the Patriots were garbage for like 2 decades until Tom Brady and Bill Belichick showed up. The Bruins hadn't won anything. You know, who am I missing? The Celtics went through a drought in like the 90s, right?
Yeah.
It was like a 20-year drought. And then all of a sudden, like this new generation starts winning championship after championship, and the personality of that town changed. And again, it was more turning the volume up on who they were at their core, but it did change.
We'd get haughty too,
but in kind of a passive aggressive way, right?
We'd still be haughtier than now. We have. I think the key thing now is the Vikings can't even get to a Super Bowl in the last 40 years.
Yeah,
like forget the actual Lombardi Trophy being hoisted. I'm talking about being in the game.
We got a couple more. We got some non-Viking stuff we'll get to, too. But John Anderson says, I just want to say I'm a big fan of the NFL eliminating the kickoff. Oh, I'm sorry. I am not. A big fan of the NFL eliminating the kickoff. If they do that, what's next? Eliminating the punt return, the three-point stance? You might as well put flags on the players if they're going to eliminate kickoffs. Do you think we're setting a bad precedent by trying to get rid of kickoffs?
So the league's research says that kickoffs have a direct correlation to a concussion problem. Okay. Here's what I wish. I wish that if the league wants to do it, just do it. Now, would I like to find a different way to actually establish where the ball is put? Yes, I would. And I think that there are some very creative things that could be done. But do I think we're establishing a bad precedent? I think we're establishing a bad precedent by continuing to sort of just tweak it and tweak it and tweak it. And I think that this might backfire. I think that we might see more squib kicks. And I think that we might see short kicks where guys say, screw it, I'm going to return it, bleep the 25. So yeah. I don't know that this is going to get the desired result. But I do think this sort of passive aggressive way of trying to phase out something that they want gone is the most annoying thing.
Well, they'd be more by they. It's really Roger Goodell and like NFL medical staff that's seeing the concussion numbers, right? Yeah. The teams and the coaches and the organizations don't want this. I think it would be jammed down their throats more aggressively if it was like split. So, but first of all, I hate kickoffs. There's only like 10 kickoff touchdowns a year anyways. Now the Vikings have had 3 in the last 2 years. To me, it's go to the bathroom, go get a snack, go get a drink out of the fridge.
You hate them now, anyways. Though, but not back in the day, right? Where it's just on.
I've always hated kickoffs. I've never been excited about kickoffs.
Guys would do the wedge and guys would bounce off them and running starts. Okay, all right.
I've always been. If you would have told me at any point in the last 20 years, hey, we're just going to put the ball at the 20. This team scored. Now this team gets the ball at the 25. I would have said, cool, whatever. That's fine by me. Right. I don't feel like football is going to be missing a part of its soul if we get rid of the kickoff. And I also don't think it means that now they're going to start getting rid of like stuff in the trenches. What they're trying to do is they're trying to put emphasis on the actual play of the game, and the kickoff has just become kind of a fringe thing. So I don't know. other people can feel differently. But
the old days were fun. Very dangerous, but fun.
When you had four guys in neck rolls holding hands.
And the wedges, yeah. And blowing guys up. And guys were starting. Where would Heath Farwell would start like 20 yards deep and just get a run? And he'd be going down there. And that was
Chris Walsh. Chris Walsh back in the day.
Oh, God, yeah. Great special just teamers.
Throwing your body. Because the first guy down would basically throw his body into the wedge and try and break up the wedge. And then other guys would come in.
Wedge.
That's what I'm saying was sort of enjoyable as a fan, but extremely dangerous.
No, man. Okay, Chuck Tritton says, hey, Mackie, what is TJ Hockenson's blocking grade? Judd keeps saying that TJ is not a blocker, but him coming from Iowa, I think he can block if needed. So I actually have, let me see here, PFF. Yeah, I'll pull that up for you. I don't think he's graded as a good blocker. I don't think he is.
Okay. He is not supposed to be, though. That's my point. I'm not trying to insult him, but he is never going to be asked to do that primarily. Like, I'm not saying he's not asked to block occasionally. I wasn't trying to put him down. I'm saying he's more of a hybrid receiver, and that's what he's best at.
You're a hater is what you are. That's fine.
And Oliver is the guy. Josh, I called him John because I got confused a couple days ago because I'm aging quickly. Oliver is the guy who's now going to serve as the 12 personnel blocker. Takes that.
Yeah, and so, okay, so there were 84 qualified tight ends in the National Football League last year. 84, according to Pro Football Focus. Josh Oliver was the number two run-blocking tight end in the entire league.
Damn good.
TJ Hockenson was 40th. He was just kind of a guy. So, but yeah, like that's...
You're not asked to do it a lot, though, I'm sure.
But here's the difference between Hockenson and some of the top guys. Mark Andrews and George Kittle are also in the top five as run-blocking tight ends. So if you really want to be on that, like George Kittle can do everything. Mark Andrews can do everything.
And they
go get 1,000 yards. Kelsey, Cole Kmet is in the top five or top 10. That's interesting. Travis Kelsey is 28th in run blocking grade.
Okay.
So not a total train wreck. Uh-uh. So yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair criticism of Hockenson. I don't think it should just be, well, he can't really do it, so... I would say if he wants to be paid like some of these, because that's the discussion happening right now with his agent.
They'll use that against
him,
too. That's a good point.
It's like, hey, well, you can catch passes, but, you know, you want that George Kittle contract. George Kittle will, you know, he'll get in the trenches and move some guys around. So if you want the $18 million a year or whatever it is, you might have to do the same. Or be a Travis Kelce-level receiver where you're going for 1,300 yards. So very interesting. Let's shout out our friends over at Power Lodge here before we get to some other feedback on this Feedback Friday. It is Memorial Day weekend. It is lake season. And Power Lodge and Miller Marine, the biggest Bennington dealer in the Twin Cities. Create that next remember when moment on one of these badass Bennington pontoons. Power Lodge locations in Brainerd and Amy and Ramsey and Miller Marine and St. Cloud. I'm jealous just watching this B-roll footage here, Judd.
We just call this one thing throttle therapy. And God knows if you are a sports fan in this town, throttle therapy is extremely important. I mean, this is the time of year when you can get away from it all, right? The Vikings haven't started yet. The winter teams are off. And you know what you can do on your Bennington? You can tune in the Twins game. Watch the sunset on a gorgeous summer day on the water, listening to the Twins play, and most importantly, absorbing that throttle therapy.
PowerLodge.com and MillerMarine.com. It all starts at the Lodge, the Power Lodge. Speaking of the Twins, hey, they're home this weekend. Old Mackadak's going to get down to a game, enjoy some nice weather. Twins.
Which game are you going to? Game are you going to?
A Twins Blue Jays game. I don't know.
No, I know, but are you going to go Saturday, Sunday? I might join you.
I don't know. We might just hop on a couple scooters and make our way over there. I'll let you know.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
I'll let you know. Let me know what day you're going, and then we can...
Yeah, I'm at the cabin, and plus, you guys already have your thing with Royce, so I didn't want to interfere on
any invites. Dude, you live in Wisconsin now, okay? It's over.
you're going to go to a Brewers game this weekend, Dex?
I might. I'll be in Wisconsin. I mean, the cabin's in Wisconsin, so we could maybe do that.
That's brewers.com/tickets. No, Twins... Twins.com/tickets if you want to go and enjoy. I think Target Field's the best bar in America, quite frankly. Just what I love to do is just go get a ticket and bounce around. I'll barely even sit in the seat. I'll just bounce around to town ball, tavern, whatever. So twins.com/tickets if you want to get out and see the first place Minnesota Twins. Okay, Steve Schuler chimes in here and says, when Declan says the word three, like when you say three, you hold up three fingers, but your index finger is not one of them. That's odd. Okay, so you hold up, you go pinky.
Oh, he's right.
I'm with you. I do it this, and I do the back of the hand, these three fingers.
Oh, you guys do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, I do three like this. That's interesting. I never thought
from
of
all
that.
The, you know,
or you could do, what's the Quentin Tarantino movie?
Inglourious
Brad
Bastards.
Pitt?
Inglourious
Bastards, where the guy the guy gives himself away by doing the German, or he does, or he doesn't do the German.
Yeah,
three,
he does the three where the Germans would have done this three drinks.
Three, yeah,
yeah. That is I watched that on a plane going when I went to Vegas a few months ago. Really fun movie to watch on a plane.
Movie is intense, man.
And also, side note, I experienced like probably one of the worst turbulence of all time over the Rockies into Vegas. And I had two death grips on the handlebars while there was a movie, like, you know, it was the movie theater scene where all these Nazis are getting killed. So it was quite the experience for the last 35 minutes of me with white knuckles and watching a bunch of Nazis being murdered in a movie theater.
The opening 20 minutes of that movie, or 15, 20 minutes, where it's Christopher Walken, right? So Christopher Walken is in the room with that guy who's hiding a Jewish family in his basement. And oh, my God, it's just like. Have you seen that movie, Judd?
I've seen parts of it. I've never seen the whole thing.
It's phenomenal.
I don't know if it would be a good one for Mackie and Judd movie reviews. It's almost too good.
Probably it is not. Way probably too not. Good. Yeah.
Okay, no, November Sun. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, we now officially have a movie reviews with Mackie and Judd podcast feed.
Mm-hmm.
We finally went back. We dug out all the old episodes, 87 movie reviews going back 3 years.
Wow.
All of them. It's like 75% action movie reviews. So then some rom-com reviews and sports movie reviews, and we're doing them every Friday here too. And so if you want to go binge them Memorial Day weekend, we've got all 87 available movie reviews with Mackie and Judd anywhere you find podcasts, Apple, Spotify. And if you could click the 5-star rating button, we can spread the word about those too. So
you're listening to a Score North podcast right now. And if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
November Sun says, Mackie was pining for Carlos Correa to come and sign the massive contract, and he's been awful. If Cat or Kirk played like Correa, they would really be crucifying him. Well, for one, Judd has been crucifying Correa.
Yeah.
Number two, be honest, was I pining for Correa to sign? Like, I don't remember, like, on this show and being like, you need to sign Correa for $35 million. I don't know that happened.
We all agreed that getting him back after the Giants were strike one and the Mets were strike two was a good move. But we didn't pine for or like rip the Twins. I don't recall when he technically left, not once but twice. So
no.
I don't know if pining is the right word.
Also, a couple things too. He's a great defensive shortstop. He's a little banged up. I still think if he comes back healthy, we'll probably have a hot month and go back to hitting 280 or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I don't know that there's a reason to crucify him yet. And for the record, we were hard on him last year and earlier.
Yeah,
we ripped
him.
Carlos Correa also has been on. Well, I don't know. It's a little bit of an asterisk, but he's been on championship teams. Has been to the World Series multiple times. Like it's a little different, in my opinion, than Towns and these other jamokes that can't even get past the first round.
Slappies.
Yeah, we need a better system for Correa to have a better idea of what's coming out of the pitcher's hand, maybe.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see here. Travis Lee says, hey, Judd, did you grow up always blaming people?
Always blaming people? I mean, probably. I really haven't changed.
I think he's criticizing you for, like, that you're negative or you criticize our teams. He's wondering if that's something attribute that you grew up. You know what's funny about that?
This town has become so conditioned to positivity. When we did, and Phil can attest to this, and I think Declan watched it. When we did a live Purple Daily on Tuesday, post OTA session, right? I came back and I raved about what I saw. I raved about the defense. I feel like people don't hear that and they just hear me criticize, which by the way is justified as well. But where I feel it's right to praise, I praise, but I'm not going to go Bally's. In fact, you know what? Fire up the Bally sounder. I'm not going to say injuries have really hamstrung the Twins. They'll be lucky to win a game this weekend, and it's not their fault. Coming up next. So, very weird.
Let's see here. Nate Bohawk says, oh, man, speaking of Bally's, it seems like Dick Bramer hates Trevor Plouffe. Rough listening to him try and interact with Trevor. I'll be honest. I didn't watch enough of the Plouffe stuff to really have a strong opinion. I love the idea. Let's bring in a former Twin who's now blowing up as this digital media star, John Boy, right? And they bring him in. So how did it go?
Well, first of all, I thought it was fantastic. I thought Plouffe was great. It gives Justin someone to talk to. So Morneau and Plouffe basically, I don't want to say they go rogue because they're not being mean about it, but they start to talk about their experiences because get this, they both played Major League Baseball. I know what he's saying about Bramer's way of going about it. It's more like Bramer has to get his. So instead of just laying out, like he could have literally thrown the brakes. Bramer has to get in. Yeah. Well, but my point is like he's the point guard at that point. It's a great job. He's the point guard. So, like, if the conversation dies, pick it back up. Get them going. I can watch the game. I do not need you to interrupt Plouffe to tell me there is a shallow fly ball to right field. Oh, looks like the second baseman has it. That's
or
two
a
outs.
Long fly ball. Yeah,
so I get the point totally. Hate is way too strong. But could he have laid out more and allowed Justin and Trevor just to go without talking? Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I was a little baffled by the, and I don't know how this stuff works. I don't know if it's like how much Bramer has to do, but the putting Trevor on the field in the camera well and then going to him, because so they had him in the booth for at least one of the games, but then like having him in the camera well.
Against the Angels, he eventually came up to the booth for portions of all three games. Against the Dodgers, camera well the whole time. But what was weird is, the Angels, they felt the need to have him on the field at the start and then at the end of games.
Because he's gonna interview a player at the end of the game.
But just slap a headset on the player. You don't need anyone down there. Those jobs are ancillary.
I think they should do it for Inside the NBA. You know how they do for the conference finals. They've got the Inside the NBA crew up. They've got him in the arena.
Yeah.
I think they should send Charles Barkley right down there on the court and just interview Jason Tatum or whoever it is. Yeah, I think there's just like this formulaic way of doing local TV broadcasts in baseball. Baseball's trying so hard to reach younger fans. They're trying to change rules, make the game more fast-paced. And I think when you find a guy like Trevor Plouffe, and even, I mean, hell, Justin Morneau, I know Royce complains about Morneau sometimes. I like Morneau on the broadcast. I like him as a guy. I covered him, and I think he's got a bright future in this industry. When you find guys like him, what is he like in his early 40s? I mean, he connects with a younger generation of baseball fans. Plouffe the same way. Plouffe is even younger. I think Plouffe's like 35, maybe. Like 37.
Plouffe's a future star.
And is a YouTube and podcast star?
Yeah, he's a star.
Why are we trying to plug those guys into the old formula that we've been doing for 30 years, right? Let's be creative and let's find ways. And so that's why it kind of turned me off that he was just like, we're going to bring Trevor Plouffe on and stuff him in the camera well and go to him like three times during a game. Getting him in the booth was great, and so I'd like to see more of that. The three-man booths, if done well, are excellent. So more Trevor Plouffe is what I'm voting for.
In baseball, they almost should be mandatory in TV. They almost should be. The Mets
it's
have
more expensive, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, you know what? That ain't my concern.
And you file for bankruptcy. It's a little
the tough. Two jobs. Well, you know what? Yeah, that good point. Pay your bills, Ballys. The two jobs right now that I would love to have would be coordinating producer of Bally Sports North and or ESPN's NHL coverage. Because both of them are struggling, and it drives me crazy to see PK Subban, who I think is a future star, trying to have fun, and you can tell Messier and Chelios especially.
But it's Steve Levy too. It's Steve.
Well, yes.
I want to rant about this. I know this is not Judd's hockey show, but I saw a clip. Was it last night or the night before? And they were like wrapping a segment and either going to a game or they were ending their post game. And so you got Steve Levy, very serious Steve Levy. And you've got, who are the other guys? Mark Messier and Chris Chelios. And they're all being very serious, chiseled hockey analysts. PK Subban is literally kneeling on his computer chair and spinning in circles.
That was last night, yes.
Yeah. He's just like clowning around and having fun. And he's like, "Woo, this chair is great." And Steve Levy was mortified.
And
dude.
And Messier looked at Chelios like, "What's this guy doing?"
He's having fun. Inside the NBA has given everyone, I get that you can't just hire a bunch of Charles Barkley's. The hardest part is finding talent that can have fun. But the formula of let the Steve Levy, Ernie Johnson be the ringleader who gives you space. It should be about having fun. If somebody starts spinning in a chair, awesome. You know, they should celebrate PK Subban, and instead they make him look like what's this weirdo doing? Oh, this is uncomfortable. We need to bring it back to hockey analysis. Why are you all wearing suits and holding pens?
Exactly.
Have fun. It's sports.
And that note on our screen is exactly right. And this is where Turner is king. TNT's hockey show is fantastic. It is the formula of the basketball show, and it completely works. Part of it is Chelios and Messier don't need to be there all the time. Gretzky dips in on TNT, but you know who the star is? Paul Bissonnette. Who's a nobody as far as a player goes, but you know what he's really good at? Having fun. Subban has a far bigger name. He has fun. There are so many things, though. When you watch ESPN, and not to crap on our guy Greeny, because I actually really like Mike, but when you watch the formulaic way that ESPN goes about its studio shows, almost like it's just filler programming, instead of, okay, how can we really make this different and fun? It drives me
nuts. But Greeny has created that with Get Up. Get Up is a circus. Yep. Get Up is fun. They start the show, and like all the producers and camera people are cheering sarcastically and stuff, and it's just this like fun. But then you get down to, but now it's NBA Countdown, and we all must be, it's hilarious, dude. Like, we're all going to wear suits and hold pens because we are going to take notes. Like, what is this? This is, it's not 1995. Anyways, let's see. Mr. AD MVP says, Phil called the Denver Nuggets a fake one seed. I was hacked. I must have been hacked. I don't remember saying that. I did say that.
Yeah, you did.
Well, if they get beat, if Miami gets in and they get beat by an 8 seed in the NBA Finals, then we'll find out. But at this point, it looks like, shocker, I may have been wrong about that. Mitch King has another complaint about old Mackadak here. Every single day, Mackie asks every person he can find on Score North about trading Carl Anthony Towns. When Doogie says he just talked to Glenn Taylor and Glenn Taylor said it won't happen, Mackie pouts and tries to rush Doogie past the Wolves topic onto the next topic. listen, the internet is boiling over with Carl Anthony Towns trade ideas right now. And so it would be wrong of us to not bring those to the table for the sake of reckless speculation.
We're just doing our
due diligence. Okay.
I'm done with him. So he, in my opinion, should be traded.
Yeah. So send your angry notes to Judd. Okay.
In fact, you have actually softened it since you called him what, a clown last spring during the Memphis series?
About 6 times in one podcast. Yeah.
So you've actually softened your stance, and I've just seen it.
Well, I feel like a bully when I say clown 6 times in an episode.
Well, clown's not nice. Clown is a very strong term. And clown's a term that should be reserved for guys like, I'm trying to think of, Ryan Suter, he's a clown. Clown.
Yeah, do you have anything to say about Suter's playoff series here?
We did on Judd's Hockey Show.
Judd's Hockey Show. I'm so sick of him.
Okay. And then one more thing here from Sean T. Actually, this one's presented by our friends at EcoFun. So, and thank you guys for supporting our sponsors because it helps keep the lights on here at Score North, Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd Purple Daily. So EcoFun, boy, it is get outside and have fun season. Save $2,000 on the most popular Yamaha R-Max 1000 side-by-sides. And you can save $300 off the total price of a new Yamaha Zuma 125 fuel-injected scooter, side-by-sides, scooters, fun things to get out, electric bikes, EcoFun. Go support our friends at EcoFun. I love this idea from Sean T. What about asking the viewers of the show to send their dog photos in, and you can highlight a couple dogs and dog owners during the live segments on Fridays? The fact that all of you guys love dogs so much is just awesome, and I'm sure a huge segment of the viewership does as well.
Let's do it.
I mean, if you guys want to start sending in dog photos, we can definitely pop them up on Fridays. So,
who's a good?
We'll call it Who's a Good Boy?
Who eats Nutrisource?
Who's a good girl?
Because if you do, you're going to get your picture on.
Yeah. Yeah, send them in. Send them into there's a feedback tab in the Score North app. That's the best way for you to email the show, and we'll turn it into a thing on Fridays. We also have another Mackie and Judd movie review, a rom-com rewind for you here on this Memorial Day weekend. It's Judd's first viewing of The Notebook in
and
full.
Mine.
And maybe Declan's as well.
I, Judd has the finish, man. I got the tissues ready.
Judd has lots of thoughts. Oh, really? Start to finish, huh? Curious to talk about it.
Okay, so we'll do that. Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd on Score North. Happy Memorial Day weekend, everyone.